We kick off hour number three of the program. It's brought to you by the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. Check them out online at tvacreditunion.com. They got the Jumpstart Savings Account for the kids as well. It earns 3% on the first up to $500. So take advantage of that if you have kids. Teach them the value of saving their money with the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union online, tvacreditunion.com. So North Carolina just knocked another one, huh?
Yeah, I have some good news and bad news.
Okay.
Yeah.
Bad news first?
Yeah. Tennessee has dropped to fourth in the national recruiting rankings, according to the composite on 24/7 Sports. They did so because five-star cornerback from Virginia Beach, Tony Grimes, committed to North Carolina. North Carolina now, 17 commits, six less than Tennessee. One five-star, 11 four-stars for Mac Brown. Tennessee, of course, one five-star, nine four-stars after Dylan Brooks was demoted and Kamar Wilcoxon decommitted.
North Carolina. Their average player is a 92.1.
Mm-hmm.
Tennessee's is 89.9. I mean, that is wild.
Yeah. Mac Brown. And this one's from Virginia Beach.
Mac Brown's average player in his class right now, even with more players, is better than Texas. Think about that.
That's how's that for irony?
Yeah.
The good news, though.
Okay.
Caden Salter made the top 10 on the pro day at the Elite 11 finals in Nashville yesterday. He ranked sixth in the top 10.
Nice.
Kyle McCord, Ohio State commit, led scoring with 45. Drake May, who's going to North Carolina also, had 40, as did Ty Thompson, who's going to Oregon. Miller Moss, Tyler Macon rounded out the top five. Salter, as I said, sixth. Just ahead of four-star Florida commitment Carlos Del Rio and four-star LSU commit Garrett Nussmeier. Michigan commit J.J. McCarthy was ninth, and five-star Caleb Williams, your boy, 34 points and checked in at number 10. So 45 was first place, then it was a drop to 40. Salter had 36 points, I believe, and then Del Rio, Nussmeier, 35, McCarthy, Williams, 34 points out of, I guess, I don't know, a possible 50. So it sounds like he's pretty good.
Yeah. That's great.
I like it.
He was rated SI, did a different type of rankings for day two, and Salter was seventh.
Oh, okay. What was he yesterday? 10? Or no, they didn't do rankings yesterday. No, they just did okay.
Says the Tennessee commitment was steady all night long. He hit big on the run and outside the numbers. He hit, you know, big throws when he was on the run and outside the numbers and kept a tight spiral. Well, more than not, he looked much more comfortable taking drops and working through his release than the night prior. So he must have been a lot better in night two. Kind of got comfortable.
Well, that's what Dilfer said, right? That he got better as it went on. Like once he did something once, he was much better doing it the second time. So maybe, he's just starting to find a little bit of a groove.
Yeah, he beat out the Georgia guy, Vandergraff, who's really highly rated.
Oh,
obviously a lot of the other guys.
Parker Thune, our boy from Oklahoma.
Yeah, what did he say?
He moved Salter from 19th to 10th.
All right.
And he bumped Williams from 1 to 5. I guess those are his just day two.
Yeah. Probably not a big deal, but the SI had the Florida commit as number one yesterday.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, so did Thune.
Carlos Del Rio.
I think these might be the same. Did he go Del Rio, McCarthy, Thompson, McCord, Williams, Nussmeier, Vandegrift, Kopp, May?
Mm-mm.
So, okay.
A little different.
Because he writes for SI too. SI Now or whatever it's called.
I'm not the stupid one because the TV just doesn't like any of us. Let's go.
Congrats to you.
I feel like it's some type of timer.
Yeah, we got to check the settings.
Every day this time.
Check the settings.
it's off by a minute or two, depending on when we turn the TV on when we get here in the morning, I guess.
I also have some other sad news, if you want it.
Sad? Am I going to cry?
No, we've already done that for these. Regular season conference records in the SEC since expansion in 2012.
Okay.
Tennessee, fourth from the bottom. 22-42 in the SEC since 2012.
Sounds about right.
Eight of those are Alabama. Eight of those came in a single season, Butch Jones' final season. And I believe, seven of those are Florida? So
where are we ranked? Who's below us?
We are 11th.
It's got to be Vanderbilt, Arkansas.
And Kentucky. Vanderbilt 19-45, Arkansas 13-51 since 2012 in conference. Tennessee 22-42.
Alabama probably doesn't even have double digit losses.
Nope, 57-7 in the last 8 years.
Wow.
Georgia 48-16. In case you were wondering what the gap looked like, 57-7 for Alabama, 48-16 for Georgia. 44-20 for LSU, 41-23 for Florida, and in fourth place, surprisingly, at least for me, 34-30 is Texas A&M, edging out Auburn by a single win. Also, it's weird, but they used like the North Carolina for South Carolina.
Oops.
Yeah. Messed that one up. Pat Smith Radio. Get on your game. But basically, yeah, so the last 8 years, we've been just barely better than Arkansas, Vanderbilt, and Kentucky.
That is sobering.
It's okay. Got to turn it around. Again, you had an 0-8 in there. You had, I think that was 1 year of Derek Dooley, right? Yeah, first year of expansion when he went to 5-7. It was just not good.
Well, in that, you know, as we try and get over the hump with JG at quarterback this year as our probable starter, maybe. Janeway says he hates to rain on your parade, but JG got really high grades at the Elite 11 also.
Hmm. Well, yeah, because there's no defense.
Houston, did you say Tennessee's record was 22-42 or 24-42?
One moment. I lost it.
I mean, you could probably just do the math. Total number.
But that's what I'm trying. I can't remember if.
It's the same amount of conference games. It just expanded you play.
8 times 8. Oh,
Travis. 5 of Vandy's 19 wins were against UT.
Neat. 22-42. So.
Yeah, that's going to make me cry.
Don't cry.
5 of Vandy's 19 wins.
Don't cry because it's over. Smile because it happened. That doesn't really work here, does it? It doesn't really work here.
I'm crying because it happened.
Yeah, and 5 of Vandy's 19 being Tennessee.
I'll be smiling because it might not continue. Hopefully doesn't continue. It might not.
We're not going to go.
Maybe we should just shut down college football.
No, we're not going to go 3-5 in the conference this year. Come on.
Probably going to go 0-0.
Oh, okay. Now I'm going to cry. Why would you do that? What was the point?
That's been the topic of the day. They can't even do virtual media days.
I know.
Can we just do a virtual football game? Like JG drops back to pass, throws it. And then we have to have a gun at wherever Ramel Keaton's staying, and it shoots the pass up in the air, and then he runs, and then you have a defender who's running on his film, and then I don't know, you'd have to have an independent observer vote on whether he made the catch or not.
Could we change it so they're all, remember those big plastic bubbles like at the at the adventure parks and stuff? Can they just play in those and we just figure it out, just run the ball?
Maybe. So,
I guess you could do that because in some of them, you know, your feet are out at the bottom.
Yeah.
I don't know how you couldn't throw. It'd just be run only.
Maybe the ball could Velcro to the.
Yeah. Like the quarterback has like a bubble boy arm to where he can at least throw it a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Tim said 22-42, and I thought I wanted you to talk sports.
Sorry, folks.
This is the news.
Yeah.
Was it the comedian will say? These are the jokes. Like, that's what I got for you. Either start laughing or we're done here.
Yep. So Tennessee football, though, no positive tests, even as more athletes have gotten to campus? I feel like we would have heard about that, right?
Yeah, I would think so, yeah.
It's impressive. Unless, never mind. What if Tennessee is already doing the Dabo thing, but we're just ahead of the game and we're not even announcing the positive cases, but they are, yeah. they're telling everybody that no positives, that even though they know, they're letting it pass around, and then they're going to do an antibody test and say, the whole team has antibodies. Crazy.
Crazy.
Crazy, right? Did you see that ESPNU is airing a documentary on Johnny Majors in 2 days?
I did. I didn't see much about it, though. What's the deal?
Johnny Majors, Straight Ahead. It's an hour-long documentary celebrating the life and legacy of Tennessee legend and college football Hall of Famer. It will debut 8 p.m. Eastern. That's Friday, July 3rd on ESPNU, and then again on noon Sunday on WVLT-TV.
Nate, you're a math guy. We've averaged 3.14 wins in the SEC since expansion.
Well, isn't our best conference record
5-3?
Right?
Yeah, I think twice.
Was that Pruitt last year, right? Didn't he go 5-3 in conference? Lost to Alabama, Georgia, Florida?
Yeah. Yeah, Butch did it in 2015, I believe.
Did he? I thought Butch never went better than 4-4.
No, he got 5-3. No, yeah, he dropped 5-3.
Yeah, the year we lost to
Oklahoma.
Oklahoma, yeah. And he went 4-4 in a year where we should have. Golly. Painful. We'll come back with more. Stick with us right here.
Wipe those tears.
Johnny Majors, though. That's exciting.
I'm glad they're doing a documentary. It's still sad that we lost him.
Yeah. Welcome back into the Fan Run Studios, Fox Sports, Knoxville. Don't forget Crown Cleaner, Starch Madness. I think it's running through the end of this week. So Starch Madness, get that fourth shirt clean for free. Just go to fanrunradio.com and show them the coupon for Crown Cleaner, Starch Madness. You can use it as many times as you want. Tell them you heard about them on Fan Run Radio, 3-0. I know we talked a lot earlier about, you know, well, what happens if a lot of people get coronavirus all at once, yada, yada. I mean, while that's all true, those are a lot of what-ifs. The English Premier League, the Italian League, the Bundesliga, the Champions Division in England, they've all been playing. And I haven't, I may have missed it, but I haven't seen where, like, five starters from Manchester United got coronavirus, have to miss two games. Like, I haven't seen any of that.
I haven't seen that either.
So, while I do think the increase in cases recently is something to monitor, I would hope that the college football people in charge are at least saying, well, it still is only July 1st. As long as we kind of tail off again before September, like, surely if it's working in Europe, it's been working in Europe for a month now, I feel like, in the Bundesliga in Germany, then it should be possible to play football. I mean, I don't think football I mean, there's obviously more players per team, but that's actually almost a benefit in a way. There's not more contact in tackle football than soccer. I mean, in fact, I'd say the more contact in the football is kind of balanced out with the pads, and then in soccer, I mean, these guys score goals, and the entire team still does the muddle hug thing.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, and football players, you have, I mean, gloves, like, yeah, you said, pads, helmet. Like there's less.
It's got to be similar exposure rate. I mean, you're sitting in the locker room the same way, the exact same way, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure that's something you can mitigate anyway. Like, the only thing you can't mitigate is the actual gameplay. And I mean, I know guys have to tackle each other and block each other, but I don't know. You said during the break you think they still might do something with the bottom of the face mask to try and just keep, you know,
it, look, you
breath patterns different, or something.
Face masks are being called a pacifier. whatever. It may not work, but I think you would see something like that just so they could say they did it. Mm. Yep, so we at least have we put the mask on. So if it spreads, it wasn't because we didn't at least think of that option.
The latest, too, with Major League Baseball is they've come out and said, hey, due to HIPAA regulations, we're not going to be able to say if a player tests positive for COVID. The main the question is going to be, though,
all college football teams or college athletic departments are operating under that same.
Right.
I mean, that used to be a big deal where a player got hurt. It's like, oh, yeah, so-and-so tore his ACL, and now it's the coach can't even say it. Just say he's injured or he's out. Two men's basketball players at Tennessee tested positive. We don't have their names. They just said two men's players are positive, and they're in self-isolation.
Mm-hmm.
So that's – I guess that's a little bit of a loophole for the schools. Like, do they have to report positive cases technically in general? Like, is that going to be mandated by the SEC? Like, hey, if you have a positive case, you have to report it for the health and safety of the other team?
I don't think it would be normally. Like, we don't know if a guy has the flu. So, normally I would say no, but I don't know if there'll be, like, a special mandate.
Right, that's what I was – I hadn't seen that. I was just wondering.
Yeah.
I feel like you would definitely have to warn people about it, especially to give people the option to say, like, if they don't want to play or something like that. Because, like – if they think they're just going to be playing a bunch of clean people, obviously they're not the brightest right now or not paying attention, but you would have to say something. Like, I can't just show up to work and have a positive case and just not really care about it. It's kind of their job.
I just wonder if, as we learn more, if you were a player and you wanted to play and you were asymptomatic and they said you're positive, would you just be like, don't tell anyone. Tell anyone. Don't report it. I'm playing. I guess at that point it would be the coach's decision. Can the coach say you're not playing because you're asymptomatic with COVID? Like, can he do that to someone?
So flip it around. Like, there's people that don't want to play just because they're afraid they might get it. Can you hold a kid out who, because they have it, even if they want to play?
Like Trey Smith.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't know. Like, if the player has it and wants to play.
Trey Smith is a fantastic example. This guy has something.
I think he's the most fascinating example in collegiate sports, maybe in all of sports, because of his specific lung blood clot situation. And he's here practicing, going for it, has every intent to play. Not only is he doing all that, he's speaking his mind on social media and at a protest or at a rally.
Mm-hmm.
He's a fearless man. So awesome. But, yeah, like, if he – that's what – I guess he's the best example. But if Oklahoma has 10 players test positive, but they're not holding anybody out, does Trey Smith say, well, I'm not playing Oklahoma? Should he say, I'm not playing Oklahoma? Does he have a right to be informed ahead of time by Oklahoma that they've got 10 cases? Does he have a right to be informed by his coaching staff and his teammates if they have it and want to play anyway?
All good questions.
Like, I don't know what the I don't know what how rights in this situation are going to be handled.
Mm-hmm. That's the big debate, right?
Because
it's
like, if I have the flu, I am allowed to go to the grocery store. There's nothing preventing me from going in and potentially giving it to people. If I have the flu, I am allowed to go to work. It's like Will said, it's up to me to make that decision and inform people and either stay home or let them know, hey, I had the flu last week. I'm staying home this week. But apparently I think I came down with it on Thursday. Or do you just roll with it and say, look, I got sick. If you get sick, you get sick. But what are the rules here? What are they going to be?
Well, we don't have any leaders that'll just step up and create rules and say, here's what makes the most sense. We're doing it this way. Get on board. Because no one wants to offend anybody.
I just feel like if someone has COVID-19 and wants to play and they're told they can't, like, could they sue the SEC? Like, hey, you're ruining my potential football career by telling me I can't play.
That's what we should
do. And it's my risk.
We should scare them for legal action.
But I know it probably is going to happen.
There were people saying that about these high school football players. Hey, I would get a scholarship if you'd let me play high school, but I can't play. You're hurting my life.
You can't have someone with COVID, regardless of asymptomatic, if they want to play, because if you give it to someone who then also isn't going to be asymptomatic, you knocked a kid out for 2 weeks and now you just caused an injury on that team. And like, there's no injuries in sports that cause injuries to another player. Like,
I mean, you could run headfirst into somebody. You get a concussion, they get a concussion.
If a player had a sprayed ankle and was like, okay, I can play through this, I'm fine, I'm 75%, he's not going to go out on the field and then injure somebody else because he has a sprained ankle.
Hang on, if he has a sprained ankle and can't block the defensive end and he blindsides the quarterback, that's kind of the same thing.
Well, I'm not talking about on our own team because he has COVID, then there's a likelihood that it could already spread. I'm talking about playing in a game against people who are coming here or going there.
I mean, they do it with the flu all the time.
Mm.
It's the same. It's better, like, better outcomes for those.
Yeah, like
he's
probable with an illness, and then he plays. If it was communicable, he put the other person at
risk.
Dude,
we had a fifth grader puke in the parking lot before a basketball game in the city tournament, and every other parent and kid on our team was like, "Well, is she sick? Was it food poisoning? I don't know. Could be either." The mom of the kid's like, well, she did eat, you know, she says she's fine, she can play. And all the kids on our team who have to sit on the bench with her, pass the same basketball around with her, were like, it's a city tournament. My kid might get sick, but let's go. This is fifth grade rec basketball. You're telling me, like, we can't play with COVID in the NFL where they're making millions of dollars?
But at the same time, those are the things, like, we have experience dealing with.
I know.
And also, our most people's immune systems haven't been introduced to COVID, and that's why it's taking such this is why we haven't seen it forever, because it's
but
such
April,
a giant spike.
May, June, July, we're gonna have 5 months of data. If college students start dying of COVID, then obviously all that changes. If I mean, I haven't heard one story of any. I mean, don't you think the media would be blowing that up if some college football player had died from COVID-19? Like,
or
it's
even
not
was
happening
in the hospital?
Yeah, it's not happening.
Jeremy Pruitt apparently confirmed this morning on the Dan Patrick Show that Tennessee football has had zero players test positive for COVID-19. So I think by now everybody's on campus. So that's it. Nobody had it. That's remarkable.
And now the smart thing would be just don't test them unless somebody gets sick.
Yeah, that makes me want to take the under for wins on the season.
Mm.
Makes you want to take the under?
Yeah.
Why is that? Because they might get it at the wrong times or something. But we could just do what we're talking about, just not tell anybody.
Well, if they don't test, unless if they're all asymptomatic and you don't test, how would you ever know?
That's the plan. That's what the SEC task force said. And if asymptomatic people can't pass it to other people, according to the CDC, then what's the risk? There's not. You can't even play the old janitor might get it and he might die. Well, they're asymptomatic. They're not passing.
How sure are they on that an asymptomatic patient could not pass it to somebody else?
I don't know. They don't know anything. They told us
everything they've said.
They've said the opposite, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you say everything, you're bound to be right eventually.
And wrong.
But you celebrate the right and just, I mean, look. That's at Como. True. You celebrate the right and you dismiss the wrong.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. All right. Fair enough. We'll come back with more. Hour three. Three and out. Hour three rolls on here live from the Fan Run Studios, Fox Sports Knoxville. You said we needed to talk Trey Smith more earlier. We talked about him kind of as a case study for risk. I mean, obviously it was his own risk with the blood clot thing. Although I do think about, like, what if you're the guy that hits Trey Smith and he goes down and he never gets up?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, wouldn't that... I mean, that would mess with
me. I mean, I guess that's true in all of sports, right?
Yeah, but the risk there was higher than normal. Mm-hmm. Like, it's higher than the normal accepted risk, as we talk about kind of in that regard.
That happened to some of my friends growing up playing football.
Really?
One of them hit the other, and the other,
unfortunately, passed away?
Died, yeah.
Man. I mean, there's... Is it Lawrence Taylor? Like, he talks about how bad he just felt when he broke Theismann's leg.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, he still went on to a successful broadcast career and everything. I don't know. Who hit Alex Smith?
Well, it was the defensive end for the Giants, wasn't it?
Was it Olivier Vernon?
It was like the same score, the same part of the field. Yeah, it was like crazy coincidences.
I don't know. It's Pierre Paul. I was one of their sack guys. I mean, just anyway. Were you talking about the comments they made on the podcast and stuff? Or did he follow those up?
Yeah, he did.
Okay. Yeah, with tweets. That's what it was.
Yeah. Let me see if I can find
it. We talked about the podcast yesterday that they released stuff for, and Trey Wallace tweeted out Palmer's comments on the podcast, and there were some interesting replies to that that we kind of hit on yesterday.
Well, we didn't hit on one reply. I don't want to read the at. I don't feel like they need any credit. It said, these college kids need to leave politics out of sports and just play ball. They're going to make half of the fans mad no matter what stance they take. Just play ball. And Alvin Kamara came in and responded, capital letters, no. And the ones that are mad at humans that play football for having an opinion on something other than football can Rocky Top their bleep out of kneeling. On the third Saturday in October, for all I care, Trey Smith, y'all keep speaking your minds.
I don't understand. I mean, I kind of understand the, hey, if you don't want people mad at you, you probably shouldn't talk politics. But then the mentality of that is, like, that they don't have a right to do that anyway. You know what I mean? Like, I can tell my kid, hey, you probably don't want to tell your opinion about anything in this moment because then you're going to face blowback. And it's still, and I'm talking like my kids are older, like my kid still has their own right to say whatever they want and just take the blowback that they get. You know what I mean? Like that, it doesn't make any sense.
It was J.J. Watt and Kareem Jackson from the Texans.
Oh, it was the Texans?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right, because it was the – I'm trying to remember. Was Watt the MVP 2 years ago? It was something like former defensive end MVP, and the left tackle was out that play or something. Yeah,
it's been a while. He's been injured a lot the last couple of seasons.
Trey Smith tweeted this thread yesterday. Vol Nation was one of my biggest influences in making my decision to come to the University of Tennessee, one of the hungriest, most tenacious, and most passionate fan bases I've ever been around. I can't think of another fan base as loyal as well. I've grown up in Tennessee all my life. I love this state. It's home, it's where I'd like to remain, but we must address the issues that we still see. When Palmer and I made those statements, we were not attacking our beloved fan base. We were bringing attention to hurtful comments that you can see are still prevalent on my prior posts. I love Vol fans because true volunteers come together to help in times of crisis. That's what we're about. No divisive rhetoric, simply unity. At no point whatsoever am I trying to corrupt minds or bestow my political beliefs upon people. I'm not forcing anything like that whatsoever. Everyone is entitled to their own political beliefs. That's American. However, if you continue to have a racist, prejudice, or suppressive speech mentality, we cannot make progress, and your ideals do not match the volunteer spirit. God bless and go Vols. If you read the replies, the positive way outweighs the negative.
Yeah. Well, I would hope so. I mean, I don't...
Which is what I think Trey was saying. He's like, we're not saying everyone feels this way. We're just pointing out that some still do, and that's the problem.
Right. Right. And it's that one reply he read that was kind of like just so ignorant is... It's fine for Michael Jordan to say, I'm not gonna be political. I'm not gonna say anything. Take politics. It's fine for Michael Jordan to say no comment.
Yeah.
To any question, and it's fine for Trey Smith to give a comment on the same question. And I don't understand why people would really care unless the person that gives their opinion is just saying some opinion that's insane. And I mean, golly, these football players we have are. I don't understand how that could be controversial at all. We said that yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
It's not. It's not controversial. It's just, I don't know. I mean, Jordan Palmer gave an extreme example to make his point.
Right.
Other than that, I can't even, I mean, you almost have to be kind of dense to not understand that. I'm sorry. Like, I mean, we've seen it. Like, the football players typically are treated much better than the regular student. In 99% of their, but the 1% that they have to deal with that's negative is really negative. Like, you know, with fame comes the criticism.
Sure.
And like, and we, I think we're talking off air. You're talking about quarterbacks. Like, it's if you're the quarterback of Tennessee, your criticism not coming because of your race. Your criticism's coming because you threw a pick or you fumbled. I mean, it's
people aren't mad at JG because he comes from a mixed family. They're mad because he throws picks. Same thing with Rick Clawson. They weren't mad at Rick Clawson because he was white. They were mad because he kept throwing the ball to the other team.
I mean,
it's very simple.
Tennessee fans see the color orange. Like that's it's about their team and their So I don't know. I don't have a problem with their saying it at all. I'm glad they're saying it, and there's always going to be in any fan base some people that are overly critical of their players. There's going to be some people that tweet recruits in really weird and awkward ways that I wish whatever fan
Didn't
base
exist.
I'm a part of,
yeah.
I wish they wouldn't do that. There's always fans that are going to be the, you know, autograph cleat chasing weirdos. I wish those people didn't exist. Like, you know,
that's every fan base.
Every fan base.
Mm-hmm. I still can't get over. I don't know how to feel about no positive tests for the football team.
No, that's still just messing with your mind.
I just don't. Like someone just said, it's an all or nothing thing, right? Like if we don't have it and we stay self-contained, we should be good to go. But then when you play other teams,
well, what you're saying is they came in from a bunch of different places, though.
That's what was crazy. I mean, I don't have the breakdown, but
isn't that the thing? Like if Clemson had two guys bring it in, then all of a sudden 37 have it. If Tennessee has zero bring it in, then zero have it.
Right, but that's amazing to me, though, that not one player had it. Now, some of them, and David brought this up, and I had thought it myself, half the team might have antibodies that were asymptomatic.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty remarkable. We have, one GA? I mean, think about that. The basketball team is like 14 guys, two had it. Out of 85 plus, not one? Mm-hmm. It's amazing. Almost unbelievable. As Davey smirks.
What?
I said almost unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of know where my theory is with a lot of these high-profile coaches.
Mm-hmm.
He got his bell rung. Well, it was a positive test, but he was asymptomatic, so we're not reporting it as a positive test.
It's probably a false positive.
We did have 19 false positives.
False positives, yeah.
But we waited 3 days, testing them again, and they were all negative.
I mean, would recording, like test not as positive be really bad as recording like a bunch of like things that aren't COVID as positive tests or positive deaths? Like,
well, that's what
either way we're being misled,
right?
And I would rather be misled to safety than misled to fear.
Fair. Yeah, we had 26 positives. We're gonna wait a week and see if they were false positives. Yep, all false positives. How about that? Maybe two weeks, right? You had to wait 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I'm also interested, we were talking about this during the break, so Clemson has 37 positive cases, but they've done 430 tests. We were talking about earlier, is it possible that they've tested a couple players multiple times and gotten five positives from him, and then now it's a negative and he's back? Like, it's just the testing and the positives and the cases. Is Clemson saying 37 players or 37 positive tests among 10 players? I need the data. Because apparently, you know,
I'm under the assumption it's 37 players.
You're under the assumption of that. But, like, in the United States testing, we just talked about it today. Like, it's possible that you could have more positive tests than the population of a city in that city if you test positive people multiple times. So I need to know, like, are you talking about the case of the person or the case of the test? You can test me once an hour if I have COVID. I'm going to test positive every time. Is that 24 cases? Is that 24 positive tests? That seems like it would skew the data like crazy. Also lower the death rate.
Yeah, which sport were they testing? Are they going to test them every day? Is it NBA or Major League Baseball?
I don't know.
Every
NBA.
Single day.
NBA was every day?
Yeah. Every day.
So if I test positive, they're going to test me 14.
The next day.
Well,
and the next day.
That's what I'm saying. Like, that doesn't.
If you have it, they're probably just going to quarantine you. I don't know if they would test you every day after that. Like, I don't.
Well, but how do I know? Am I on day 14 of having it, or am I on day one?
That's fair.
So you would want to test them every, because the moment they give you a negative, you're like back. So if I test positive today, well, if they do it every day, obviously that's a little different.
Once you get past day 14, you could then just quarantine because you know it's the first day they had it, right?
Yeah. It's just
weird.
It's just strange.
Yeah. All right.
Someone said no positive test for the football team makes me very nervous. They need to go hang out with the basketball team. I don't know. Is it wrong to think, like, hey, odds are the entire team would be perfectly fine and asymptomatic? Like, is that a – I'm not saying I'm thinking that, like, but people do have that mindset of, like, oh, just pass it around. It's like the guy said about the schools, right? Like, yeah, is that a bad thing to think? Like, oh, I wish a couple guys had it. That way it just get passed around and be over and done with.
If I'm not currently having the antibodies and someone's like, you will eventually get this virus. Go ahead and I'll take my chances now versus I don't have anything really going on for the next 2 weeks. I'd rather go ahead and get it out of the way. And a lot of people, I mean, there's people probably screaming at me on the radio right now saying you're crazy. Based off the data, like I said, I've got a higher chance that there's a higher chance I kill myself in the next 2 weeks than there is that I die from COVID.
That's dark.
It is. But statistically speaking, that's going to happen. Better chance I overdose. I mean, I'm not doing any drugs where I'm in that category, but that is something that could happen. And then on top of that, I have a higher chance of dying in a car accident on my way back home after the show.
There you go. Final segment. We'll jump around next. Stick with us on Three and Out. Janeway wants to know if anyone's thought about mandating tests. Just have everyone in the city go get tested to see what the real picture is.
Be a lot of tests. I am surprised, though, that some cities haven't done that. I don't think you could do it on a national level at the drop of a hat, but I am kind of surprised that...
They did it in Europe in pockets, and they did it out in California in pockets, and every time there was tons more people with either positive at the moment or with antibodies. Or both, really.
I had a friend get tested in Knoxville yesterday because he was exposed, and he said that Knoxville is out of the rapid test.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, so they got to use the slow ones?
What's the wait time on that? 3 to 10?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
So if you test positive but you don't get your test back for 10 days, how long do you quarantine?
Well, I mean, once you hit the 2 week period, isn't that still the what they've been saying?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, if I don't know. I guess when did they run the test? Like, how quickly do I get my results back from when they actually tested the sample?
I think you should quarantine or self-quarantine for a couple of days after you leave a testing facility regardless,
because
you're going to a
fair
place
point.
With a bunch of people who could have COVID.
The WHO says the worst is yet to come.
I thought we canceled them.
Did we?
Who'd we cancel?
The World Health Organization?
Are we losing track of who we're canceling?
It depends on what they're saying, whether they're canceled or not. That goes for anybody. So to some people, they're canceled if they're giving good news. Some people, if they're giving other good news or bad news you know.
6 months since the coronavirus outbreak, the pandemic is still far from over, the World Health Organization said Monday, warning that the worst is yet to come, reaching the half-year milestone just as the death toll surpassed 500,000 and the number of confirmed infections topped 10 million people. The WHO said it was a moment to recommit to the fight to save lives. 6 months ago, none of us could have imagined how our world and our lives would be thrown into turmoil by this virus, Chief Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus said. Nailed it. The hard reality is that this is not even close to being over. Although many countries have made some progress globally, the pandemic is actually speeding up. Interesting.
I mean, it might be worldwide. I don't know. I mean, I looked at the testing data yesterday. We are tested. The last 2 weeks, we've tested way more. We've run way more tests than we were before. So that is still a thing. I mean, and the number one correlation between positives is how many tests you run.
Naturally.
Yeah. Because you just find more of them.
Probably the correlation with negatives, too.
Yeah, that would work. Was that a dry cough? Davey, You want Houston just go ahead and cough on you?
Oh, I don't have
just
it.
Just in case.
Unless Fish can give it to me, I don't have it.
I don't want him coughing on me unless I know he has it.
Well, just roll the dice,
well, if
bro.
If he knows he has it, then he can't come in to cough on you. So I don't know. You'll have to do that off the company.
Yeah, if I tested positive, I'd still come in. Will might have come in when he had it. He didn't know.
Bro. I mean, that's 100% a possibility. I won't deny
that's what
it's
I'm saying.
A possibility because we don't know anything.
Yeah.
But I am 75% sure I had it in December.
75.
Percentages and graphs and projections are canceled.
7.926 possibility rating.
Yes.
If I, in fact, did have it and I showed symptoms, I know exactly when I would have had it. But that's one of those things, man. It was kind of like going back to before we thought it was actually in the area. Mm-hmm. And it's probably just a common cold that I had at the time. But who knows?
You might have got a false negative on your antibody test. You might
have.
Yeah.
Could have.
I guess technically if we never report the cases, even if they come in, I can technically say there was never an outbreak as the COVID-19 coordinator.
Mm-hmm. We had one antibody positive. That's so far, I think that's the station's
stats.
Yeah.
And it was probably before he even started working here.
It was probably before I even turned 18. So it's been a whole year, technically.
Mm.
But what? Like what? I mean, that's not how years work. But
well, time's a made-up concept. We were talking about it at the beginning of the show.
Your year and my year might be different.
Wouldn't say it's made up.
I feel like we've all come to a pretty good agreement on time.
It's standard, but, you know, 365.
It's like time is the one thing that the world agrees on.
How long has this past 6 months felt?
Hmm?
How long has this past 6 months felt?
It felt like 6 months.
Maybe there's a black hole in the area.
It's felt like 6 months that have taken 12 years off my life.
Halfway through it.
Yay.
2020. See you on the other side. Oh, wait, that's today. We're on the other side.
Yeah. We're already there. So, anyway, we'll be back.
Flip the script.
We will be back tomorrow. The Blitz is up next. Keep it locked in for more Fan Run Radio.